Welcome to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with Chaz and Marco Solomon. Chaz and Marco grew up in the Roaring Fork Valley, the sons of Dr. Paul Solomon and Nancy Reinisch. They left Glenwood after high school and went on to study medicine. Today, they are doctors at North Memorial Hospital in Minneapolis. Chaz works on the COVID ward, and Marco is in the emergency room. When I contacted them, Chaz was waiting to start his next shift, and Marco was home with his baby daughter. Chaz and Marco, welcome to Immigrant Stories, and thanks for joining me. For those who are living in the Roaring Fork Valley, know you as favorite sons of the area. How is it that the two of you, brothers, end up in Minnesota? Start by talking about your Minnesota roots. Marco, you want to start?
Sure. Yeah, Minnesota's always been a place important to my family, and I remember it growing up, coming to Minnesota in the summers and frequently for visits to my dad's family. So my dad grew up in St. Paul as one of six children from an immigrant family. And eventually he settled in Colorado along with one of his brothers, but I think four of the other aunts and uncles, and my grandparents still remained in Minnesota. So I remember frequently once a year or so being able to come to Minnesota, and we used to gather at the St. Croix River where my grandparents lived, which is the beautiful protected waterway in between Minnesota and Wisconsin. East of Minneapolis, where we are now. And so then I grew up, and then I wouldn't have thought that I would live in Minnesota. Honestly, I thought we were visitors and enjoyed that. But as education and profession became more important in our lives, kind of saw more and more of a path to Minnesota. And then it ultimately came at the end of medical school. You go through a type of a semi-lottery match process where you somewhat choose and then partially be chosen where you do your training. It was at that point that I kind of began to look a lot more seriously about doing my residency training in Minnesota.
Chaz, your grandparents came.
On my dad's side, my grandfather is a first generation Lebanese immigrant. Both of his parents from Lebanon. I believe my grandfather was actually born in Minneapolis. But he was born right after his parents arrived from Lebanon, and they were economic refugees right around the turn of the century. And yeah, I remember when I was in college, I had the privilege, actually, when I was studying abroad in Egypt, to actually reconnect with family members in a little village in northern Lebanon called Andaket. It was a really cool experience. And I had kind of heard about them for a long time, and was able to use a bunch of letters that my great grandma had been sending back and forth. But the last real exchange was in the 1960s. So I kind of went with a bunch of photos and letters that I got from that had been my great grandmother's, that I got from my one surviving great aunt, my grandfather's sister. No one could really be sure if this family in Lebanon was for real. And I met some guys on the internet. But when I showed up in this little village, they showed me the other side of these letters and the same photographs that they'd been sending back and forth from the 60s.
Wow.
So yeah, we had kind of reconnected with our Lebanese family. They settled here. They settled here in right around the turn of the century, the big Lebanese community here in the Twin Cities. And my grandfather was one of 12 brothers and sisters. So there was a big Salman contingent here in the Twin Cities, and still is today.
So here,
Walter, we were always told this story, which may have as much fable as truth at this point, that my great grandfather built their family's home out of driftwood that he collected on the St. Croix River. And it was an amazing story for us to think about that as an immigrant or coming to this country. And that was his home for his eventually 12 children. I think he repaired parts of his house with lumber that had gotten out of the mill and floated downstream at some point.
They used to use the rivers to float timbers. So yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Hard to verify that history, but that's oral legend.
Well, let's go with it. Yeah. So here you are back to your roots. How is it that two brothers end up in the same hospital practicing medicine.
Marco came here first to train at Hennepin Medical Center, which is the county hospital here in Minneapolis, a very renowned emergency medicine program. Marco was doing emergency medicine and internal medicine. Marco did two residencies combined into one. But then a couple years later, I was looking around for my family medicine residency. And I had my wife is also from nearby in Wisconsin, only about an hour outside of the Twin Cities. So she has a lot of connections here and had been living in Minneapolis. So as we thought about getting closer to my family here in the Twin Cities and her family in Wisconsin, I started looking very heavily at residencies. And the residency that made the most sense for me is actually a University of Minnesota program here at North Memorial Hospital. So that's where I ended up kind of ranking as my top choice and was excited to be selected to come train in family medicine here. So then I did my 3 years of residency here, after which I was able to negotiate a position within the University of Minnesota to continue working at this hospital, as well as doing my research in Kenya. So I joined the faculty at the University of Minnesota. And right around the same time, Marco took a position in the emergency room here at North Memorial. So we both kind of, graduated from our residency programs and started our kind of attending clinical positions here at North Memorial together right at the same time.
That was partially, and partially intentional. I mean, not necessarily intentional that we would have to work together, but Chaz thought out the residency training North Memorial because of what it offered in terms of training. It's a community hospital located just, technically outside Minneapolis, but really serving the north urban part of Minneapolis and a somewhat of an underserved population in that geographic area. And the ability to provide also kind of tertiary care level services as a trauma center and a referral center for other people from around the state. So then that when we both kind of ended our residencies and started to look for professional work opportunities, among here, the places here in Minnesota that, it does kind of stand out as a really remarkable place to work and serve and to be a part of at, in Minneapolis. And then the fact that Chaz was there and he could speak really highly to it and to how it was to be employed and working in that center, that drew me.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. My interview today is with Chaz and Marco Salmon, brothers who grew up in the Roaring Fork Valley and now working as doctors at North Memorial Hospital in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Chaz is in the COVID ward and Marco works in the emergency room.
Describe what it's been like during this COVID time. Your brothers in the same hospital working COVID shifts, Marco.
Yeah. First of all, just tell you how when COVID first came, it did feel like it upended the just traditional practice of emergency medicine that we were doing, and all of the little things that were kind of somewhat easy became harder.
For example,
Popping in and out of a patient's room to tell them a little bit more, to speak to someone, all the way up to the really significant things about how easy or how it was to admit a patient to the hospital. This patient needs to be watched, because you're worried about something of their heart or whatever. Like sometimes those are things we just do with ease, and they all became harder when capacity becomes an issue, when, community-wide, nationwide resources become a real constraint.
You're dealing with people who are coming in the emergency room, and then you have to ship them upstairs to your brother, right?
We've gotten used to lots of patients being like, wait a second, didn't I just see you in the emergency room? And I'm like, no, that's actually the other Dr. Salmon.
I bet that is confusing.
Especially when wearing masks and people can only see,
your eyes.
And they just see Dr. Salmon and this, But yeah, I agree, the first few months, I think there's been lots of different kind of stressful waves that in some ways match the surges we've had, but also just in the beginning, it was so unknown what was going on. I remember feeling very nervous for Marco and the ED docs that were kind of, very much like the first people seeing everything that came in the door. And when it first started, PPE was scarce. The guidelines weren't clear when you were supposed to wear an N95. The ERs weren't necessarily set up to accommodate big surges of patients with infectious symptoms going into the same rooms one after another.
Yeah, it's making it up on the fly.
So yeah, the first few weeks were very stressful for everybody. And the docs, you know, everyone was trying to quickly scramble to figure out how to, you know, like our workspaces. We're used to all the docs just sharing little computers right next to each other. And all that suddenly was unclear. Like, is this safe? How do we actually protect ourselves, protect patients? And it went from an environment where, you know, you get pretty comfortable in the hospital knowing just how to move around the hospital, where to go get a sandwich real quick, you know, where to go say hey to, or go down and talk to the radiologist if you just want to get a quick opinion on a CT scan, kind of these casual, informal things that grease patient care and your own experience on working. Everything was like, well, is it okay for me to go down into the radiologist's office? Should I do that? Yeah. All those things suddenly became much more challenging. Now we've kind of gotten used to it, but yeah, it upended things.
It's wreaked havoc with human interaction. You know, we're social animals. And
yeah, everybody's dealing with that.
How has it been for the both of you? You both have young families. So you are deep into COVID in the hospital, and then you have to try to go home and be safe with your wife and kids. Go ahead, Marco.
I was going to say, that was like one of the most frequent conversations that I had with colleagues and with Chaz, you know, in the first month of COVID. It's like, how is everybody doing this? Or like, you know, it started off, some people like weren't hugging their children, you know, for the first, however often. And I think slowly we've all kind of developed what is our both like risk tolerance and also just practice that makes you feel, more than anything, makes you be able to relax when you're at home.
Right.
You know, and so I have, in a way that I never did before, take a shower at the hospital after every shift, change into clean clothes, you know, and take those home and try and both physically and then a little bit of, you know, emotionally leave stuff at the hospital. And that's seemingly worked well. But that was a really big, I mean, that was the hardest part initially, was when COVID first hit, you know, and we were all asked to kind of modify our lives significantly and even go into quarantine nationwide. There was a part of me that was like, yeah, I just want to go into quarantine and disappear for, you know, a couple of months. Like, we can go live, you know, in the woods. Chaz is building an off, you know, off-grid yurt. And like, oh, sweet, this is the time to go do that and disappear from the society for a few months. But we were like, oh, but we can't because we have to work. And I think we were able, I think over the ensuing weeks and months, to also see that as honestly a bit of a privilege to have a role to play, have some way to contribute and help in something that feels so globally helpless.
Chaz, how's it been for you? Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, I think it's gotten a lot better. In the very beginning, there was just so much uncertainty. Are we going to be getting sick at work? You know, everyone had read the reports out of Italy where 70% of the staff at some of these hospitals were getting sick. So those first few weeks were like red alert. And yeah, Marco and I remember talking about, like, should we move together out to my aunts and uncles still have my grandparents' house? We're like, should we go stay there? Do we need to separate from our families? But over the weeks, as we saw, like, actually the protocols in the hospital were keeping us safe. And yeah, we kind of developed our systems. I've got I've got a bunch of Tupperware containers in the back of my truck where I change my shoes and my clothes. And, you know, I know there's a one kind of underused locker room in the hospital that I always sneak off to and take a shower before I come home. Like, we kind of figured out some systems that made us feel like, okay, we can do this. It quickly got better. I mean, I think our work environment is not as fun as it. I mean, it's weird to say that the hospital was fun, but there was kind of just that collegial atmosphere of people working together. I think everybody's feeling some version of that.
Yeah.
But there's, I think that's been replaced with like a shared sense of real purpose.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. My interview today is with Chaz and Marco Salmon. They are brothers and doctors at North Memorial Hospital in Minneapolis. Chaz works the COVID ward, and Marco is in the emergency room.
You had the pandemic, and then you had George Floyd.
Yeah, George Floyd was another big hit. Yeah, for our community, you know, the clinic where I work was actually partially destroyed in some of the unrest that followed, which I think had less to do with the specific protests around George Floyd, as I think there were other people taking advantage of that situation.
Right.
I didn't feel like that was, and our faculty and our clinic has actually put out a number of statements just about that experience with our clinic, because our providers very much support the community of North Minneapolis and Minneapolis, which was really grieving over that event. But yeah, that just complicated things, because you know, at that time also, we were so concerned, is this going to create another surge? Clearly another issue that needs to be addressed in our community and nationally and globally at the same time. So I think that has also, I think, at least in the faculty where I work, that this is a largely African-American population in Minneapolis that we serve in our clinic and this hospital in this part of Minneapolis. So I think both in terms of COVID and issues of social justice, I think there has been kind of a stealing of our resolve to be advocates and to be there on the front line, which I think is part of our motivation to go into medicine. But I think it's easy in the middle of your careers to just kind of get pulled along with the business of it, kind of just the logistics and the day-to-day operations of it. I think those events, COVID and George Floyd, like reminded us of our purpose in this, that wasn't about just the business of medicine. And I think that's actually been a very positive silver lining, despite the challenges. I think that it has kind of reinvigorated many of us with that spirit of, you know, common service.
Markle?
I mean, I want to tell you more about the George Floyd summer too, because that was just, an amazing addition of emotion and complexity and stress to already really significant summer. And I remember just driving down, you know, there's a main strip to get to our main avenue that gets to the hospital, and going into an emergency shift where actively it was probably like 4 p.m. everybody boarding up windows like the Passover ghost was coming or something. Uh-huh. You know, horrible was about to arrive at night, and that just like ominous feeling that you could feel, and then how rough that felt at the time, and then how sad to feel that something that was really like a part of this community, Chaz's clinic, got wrapped up into that in ways that were difficult to understand. I want to say that I think my brother and I have helped teach and learn from each other throughout this summer, especially. You know, at first we kind of would talk about how do you like correctly don and doff your gown and your mask and everything, and how you do that. And then like, what are some COVID specifics about things? And specifically, I know that my brother has taught me, changed my practice in relation to some of my African-American patients and minorities that I see, you know, especially in the emergency department, and just a different pace and understanding when you look at a bigger picture of how difficult it is to get the same equitable medical care in our country for some of these people, and taking extra time, giving a little bit extra in terms of what you're trying to give to them to make sure that it's really put together. Because we can look around, literally driving to work, I can look around and see all the ways in which it's not put together for some of our patients. And something that Chaz and I spoke about that I think they know he taught me.
Yeah, I think, Marco, that was like, I think it was easy at first during COVID just to be like, we have to just focus on clinical acuity. You know, the sickest patient needs all of our attention. But what we quickly saw, especially as the way the African-American community was impacted by COVID, both by, you know, people getting really sick, but also like all these different vital services, clinics, resources that were suddenly much more difficult to get to by public transportation, by the hours changing, by things going remote. And what, you know, if you didn't have Zoom or a cell phone, you couldn't do interviews for all different things. The way that impacted our patients of color had a huge effect. And when people came into the hospital, sometimes that was the only chance to help get some of those things figured out. But if we just kind of said, nah, right now all we can focus on is people that have low oxygen saturations, you know, good luck, go back to your clinic to figure out your diabetes. People were really falling through the holes.
So you quickly realized you were working with a broken system, or at least one that was really out of balance.
There was a minute where after the George Floyd incident, there wasn't like an open pharmacy in like, you know, this certain mile radius around the hospital and around these communities, where even if you wanted to prescribe something for somebody, there wasn't one open.
The term in medical anthropology that comes to mind is syndemic, which is when two different epidemics kind of converge and create kind of compounding impacts. And I think that we definitely were feeling, I mean, all over the country, we've been feeling multiple syndemics this year, but that one, that was a reality here. But I would say, to speak to Marco's side of things, I think it's been wonderful to know that Marco's in the emergency room and get to really know all of his colleagues in the emergency room. sometimes in medicine, there's kind of weird, not rivalries, but kind of just like arbitrary division between the guys in the emergency room and the guys upstairs.
Teams.
Or, yeah, teams, you know, mm-hmm. Men and women on one side kind of feel like the way they do it is the way that it should be done. And it's, but I think that this pandemic, I think has kind of, I think brought down a lot of those divisions because we've seen the ways that we have to work together to, you know, get a patient that may or may not need to come in for various reasons, work together, figure out, yes, they should come in, or can this patient be, can we handle this in the emergency room because we don't have beds upstairs? And there's been all sorts of creative collaborations that didn't used to happen. Marco and I think have always kind of together when it's been the two of us been able to do a little bit of that, but I feel like that has opened up system wide. Our hospital's done a really good job with that. And I think, I know there are many other places that, you know, when I talk with colleagues at Valley View, I think people have embraced that. Like that's the culture now. That's just, again, another positive silver lining out of this.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. My interview today is with Chaz and Marco Solomon, brothers and doctors at North Memorial Hospital in Minneapolis. They've just been reflecting on COVID and the death of George Floyd.
You've been working together for a few years in Minnesota, and that's changing. Can you talk about that, Marco?
Yeah. I mean, I'm very excited and at the same time harboring some sadness that there's a major transition happening right now, that I'm packing up the car this week to drive to Colorado and move my family back to Glenwood Springs or in the Roaring Fork Valley, which has been kind of a long-term dream that I'm excited to begin to actualize. But it's going to make the daily life quite a bit different for Chaz and I, being able to see each other and have our families now interact. I think that's continually one of the parts that affects me most, is thinking that my child and his children, our cousins, won't get to kind of be just casually see each other on any afternoon. But I know we'll be able to continue that. It's been made us kind of cherish the moments of the last 6 months. And, you know, I'm making kind of a slow transition, you would say. So there'll still be a few more over the next couple of months. In fact, Chaz had to jump my car last night when my car died after packing it up all day. So I don't need it. I still need them.
The brothers. So you're going to practice emergency medicine at Valley View?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I'm excited to do emergency medicine and internal medicine. I do hospitalist work in a balanced role. And that combination was what drew me to Minnesota in the first place. For that combined training is what drew me to North Memorial Hospital as a place where I could do both of those. And being able to do those in Glenwood and at Valley View Hospital is a really unique opportunity. And to be part of a team and an institution there, I'm really excited about. And to be able to be in the mountains with the mountain community. I'm excited for that.
Jazz?
I was going to say, I'm going to have to sign off here in a few minutes because I got to go to a shift. But this will be one of my first shifts knowing that, Marco's not in the hospital anymore. I'm so used to like swinging by the docs lounge and grabbing a sandwich and bringing it over to the emergency room when he's there. Just saying, you know, seeing what's going on in the emergency room and give him a sandwich and hang out for a few minutes. So maybe I'll have to adopt one of Marco's colleagues to be my like inside eyes in the emergency room. But,
what are you going to miss about your little brother?
Marco's still, you know, my best friend. We go for runs several times a week. Bumping into him here at the hospital has just been a really kind of funny experience. Confusing. We get each other's pages all day long. Different nurses trying to reach the other Dr. Salmon. So the hospital staff will probably be relieved to not have to deal with the confusion anymore. Huh. But I'm excited that he's going to be back in Glenwood because it means, whenever I get to come home, I get to see him. And I'm excited for Valley View because I think they're getting an awesome doc.
We are.
Definitely going to miss it. Definitely going to miss him, but I think it's the right move. So I'm excited for him and his family.
That was Marco and Chaz Solomon. For those of you who are interested, there is more to our interview. In part two, Marco and Chaz reflect on the courage of their patients and coworkers and the importance of family in their lives. They also describe their connection to the people of Mamfungano Island on Lake Victoria in Kenya and the clinic they helped establish there. Part two and this show is available at kdnk.org. And on a personal note, throughout this interview with Chaz and Marco, I was reminded of their mother, Nancy Reinisch, who died of breast cancer in 2019. Nancy was a dear friend of mine. She was a marriage and family psychotherapist at Glenwood Medical Association, but she was also a consummate community organizer. She helped establish the Advocate Safe House Project, the Mother's Day Mile, the Roaring Fork Women's Triathlon Team, the Valley View Cancer Coffee Walk and Talk Group, and the Mamfungano Island Artists Co-op. As I sat with her sons, I realized how strong her spirit is in the world. You've been listening to the Immigrant Stories program. For more on Immigrant Stories, please go to our website, immigrantstories.net. You can also subscribe to Immigrant Stories on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.